I wanted to, yeah, connect pieces somehow. The pieces actually sound very different, but the, you can feel the connection, how Richard Strauss admired Mozart and how Mozart's style practically is redone or rewritten by Richard Strauss. And the, we are playing the sextet from the opera Capriccio.
Which actually has a cool plot. Sometimes operas have really bizarro plots, but I like this one.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not a very exciting story, though. I mean, they're arguing
over...
Found it intriguing. Yeah, they're
arguing
over...
Well, I'm nerdy that way.
So. Well, it's all right. I programmed it just for you. You know, it's about what's important in opera, singing, you know, lyrics or music. But it starts with a beautiful string sextet. That's the opening of the opera. There's about 10 minutes long. This time I reorchestrated it a little bit because, you know, I always have to do something with these pieces. Mm-hmm. We can just play them. Mm-hmm. So you can find them in your library. We're playing it with a little bigger string section, four first violins for the first violin part, and I added the bass. So we have a little bigger sound for the VBC. But it's just a very Mozartian, beautiful Richard Strauss piece. And then there's another piece that's connected to Richard Strauss because we all know that the famous John Williams, mm-hmm. Composer of many soundtracks, actually learned a whole lot from Richard Strauss in orchestration and in sound. And we're playing a tuba concerto by John Williams.
And we're very happy to welcome to the WLRH studios Alan Baer, who's the principal tuba player of the New York Philharmonic. Something else Gregory does, aside from programming music that we don't have in the library, is bringing in soloists that we've never heard before with the symphony. You brought the first trombonist, I believe. And since I've been here, I believe you're the first tubist. So welcome to Huntsville.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm having a great time here.
Yeah, well, sorry I don't have any winter weather for you. Maybe we can stir up a tornado this week.
Please do. I didn't get enough of the... I haven't gotten enough of that this winter.
So, the tuba. What was it about the tuba that said, play me, to you?
You know, I was always a big kid growing up, and when the band director put all these instruments out in front of us on the table in the gymnasium in fifth grade... That was the one I was just drawn to. It was mm-hmm. the biggest one. It was the loudest uh-huh. one, the lowest one. And I've tried other instruments, and it seems like I always ended up going back to the tuba.
It has such a distinct voice. Of course, maybe it's just I've watched too many Bugs Bunny cartoons, but I can't hear the tuba without thinking of that cartoon where Bugs Bunny dresses up as Leopold Stokowski and the opera singer falls in the tuba. Have yeah. you seen that? So did you ever imagine when you were in the fifth grade and you picked up a tuba that you would be the principal tubist of the New York Philharmonic? How did you get there?
I had no clue, and I figured I'd just do it for fun, and I'd be a band director.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, I went into music education, and then when I saw that I had my first educational experience, and they ate me alive, mm-hmm. and I said...
Oh, and the New York Philharmonic doesn't?
No. I'm like, no, these kids, I can't do this. It was young kids. It was frightening what a young kid can do to you.
And, even with a tuba.
Yeah, even with a tuba. So I changed to performance, and then I transferred to a school. This was at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I transferred to Cleveland Institute, and that's where, you know, things just really, really started to happen.
We actually met in Milwaukee. I was assistant conductor of the Milwaukee Symphony for 3 years, and Al was playing there before he got this position with the New York Philharmonic.
And so why did you decide to bring him to Huntsville? Not just because we'd never had a tuba player before.
I like him. What's the question here? And also, I mean, I couldn't think of anybody else when I thought of playing something from John Williams. And I actually did this piece once with a bass trombone player mm-hmm. a long time ago. And I remember that I liked it, and I'm still liking it. So it's a really neat piece.
It really is, and I'm surprised that there aren't more recordings of it. Of course, we don't have it in our library, but I found one on YouTube. It's less than ideal. It's Mike Roylance, who's with Boston
Symphony.
He's playing at Tanglewood. So you can get an idea of what the John... This is the last movement, which is all I could find. And I'll go ahead and say, while you're listening to this, it's okay to laugh. It just, I got tickled at it. Idea. It's definitely John Williams-y. There's no question about it. You can almost hear the Jaws theme in there.
It's actually, it has a really beautiful second movement. There's mm-hmm. a duet between the flute and
that.
The tuba.
Yeah.
The first movement is also very John Williams-y. Uh-huh. But it's well orchestrated and it's three movements connected with a beautiful English horn solo in it too. So there are a lot of places where our orchestra members can also show what they can do, and I believe that you will discover the connection between Strauss and John Williams. And of course we're ending the concert with Till Eulenspiegel, which is another big horn piece. So
mm-hmm.
this is really a concert about horns for
yes.
me, right? We have the tuba, we have the post horn, and then we of course have the famous French horn solos in Till Eulenspiegel.
Mm-hmm. Alan Baer and I were just talking about the repertoire for tuba soloists. There's not a whole lot. There's this. Raphon Williams has a well-known tuba concerto.
Yes.
Where else do you get your music?
Man, we steal from everyone. You know, the horn concertos. The speaking of horns, you know, the Strauss horn concertos, the Mozart horn concertos. On a masterclass I'm doing today, I'm gonna do a Strauss nocturne
mm-hmm.
For the kids, and we just oboe concertos. My second CD is mostly all stolen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's stuff from.
Oh, no, it's Gilbert's. Reimagined. It's not stolen.
Reimagined.
Yeah. Recycled.
Right.
Let's just call it recycled.
Borrowed or recycled.
Yes.
Gilbert and Sullivan, all sorts of stuff that we grab from.
I found a lovely recording of the Queen of the Night aria for tuba that I played in the first hour. So somebody had to do it, I suppose.
Somebody had to do it.
It's very silly sounding. But this John Williams said about this tuba concerto, he said, I don't know why I wrote it, just urge and instinct. He says he's always liked the tuba and used to play. He wrote a tuba solo for a Dick Van Dyke movie, and he's been composing for it. He says he's put passages in it for some of my pets in the orchestra, solos for flute and English horn, for horn quartet and a trio of trumpets. He says it's light and tuneful, and I hope it has enough events to make it fun. Would you agree?
Oh, it's great fun.
Mm-hmm.
What he does with the lines and is just incredible. I mean, as Gregory was saying, back and forth with the flute, and he just gives us a chance to kind of show off.
And to sing. You don't think
sing.
Of the trumpet,
perfect.
The
yeah.
tuba singing that much.
Yeah.
Lots of singing going on in Till Eulenspiegel. This is a request day favorite. I get requests for this and Bolero. But tell us about Till Eulenspiegel's Merry Pranks.
Well, first of all, it's Richard Strauss year, or it was last year, but you know, you don't need a reason to pick up this piece and play it. And I mean, it's a real showpiece for the orchestra. It's short, you know, the Williams Tuba Concerto is also about 15 minutes.
Don't you get tired? Wouldn't it just wear you out standing up there and playing the tuba the whole time?
Well, I get to sit.
Oh, okay.
I don't have to stand.
All right.
But no, it's, you know, it's tuba uses so many more, it's such a bigger mouthpiece. Uh-huh. It's not all that bad for us.
Okay.
But it's actually about the same length as mm-hmm. the tuba concerto. So we have two 15-minute long pieces in the second half. And, of course, a lot of notes. I mean, there are a lot of notes in Till.
So you'll get your money's worth if you're buying
a ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of notes in this concert. I mean, the Mozart, as I said before, is about 45 minutes. And then we have a 10-minute long string piece, the sextet from the Capriccio, and then 15 minutes of John Williams and 15 minutes of Richard Strauss. And, you know, I like to say that when you put a program together, it's really a little bit like radio, like doing radio. You know, it's like, what's the piece I would like to listen to after this?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there is a connection. In my mind, there is always a connection. But sometimes you go like, okay, well, what are you going to do here? Like, how does Strauss connect with John Williams and with Mozart? And yeah, in my head, there is a connection, but sometimes you just don't need it. Sometimes it's just a contrast. Sometimes you just put ingredients together that seemingly don't belong, and at the end, you get a really good meal.
Well, there's an element of fun.
Meal.
Yeah.
It's just like putting together a good dinner.
Uh-huh. Well, this is like you get a nice entree and almost two desserts. Everybody loves Till Eulenspiegel.
I do.
Yes, I do too. And so did Richard Strauss. He it was one of his last tone poems. He sort of revolutionized the whole storytelling aspect of music. And Till is a character. As we say in Alabama, we've gotten all sorts of trouble and stuff. And you hear it within the course of the piece. And he said he wasn't, Strauss says he wasn't going to provide a program for it. In fact, he actually started out writing an opera and just abandoned that and just went to the tone poem. He says, any words into which I might put the thoughts of several incidents suggested to me would hardly suffice, and they might even offend. Let me leave it, therefore, to my listeners to crack the hard nut the rogue has offered them.
You know, he also said that not only I can put beer into music, but I can actually compose any type of beer. You know, I'm really curious now what an IPA sounds like in Strauss language. But what he meant is like, yeah, of course, he was great at orchestration and he was great at writing themes that evoke something. And the character of Till Eulenspiegel, played by the E-flat clarinet, and how this theme is being played with throughout the piece. My favorite is actually the opening, not only because of the great and famous French horn solo, but the way he starts telling a story, that the opening
it's
lines
almost like
of the
a once
piece,
upon a time.
Exactly, once upon a time. That music comes back at the end of the story mm-hmm. before we have this fast ending. And it's just, you know, timing, pacing, and ideas just line up perfectly in Strauss's works always.
Alan Baer mentioned the masterclass. That's at 5 this evening at the VBC Concert Hall right there on stage, and it is open to the public, as we say, in public radio, sponsored by Twickenham Fest. What do you have to say to the folks that are going to show up for that masterclass?
Well, it's going to be as it's a time for me to kind of show the students first what I've got to offer,
mm-hmm.
So they have a chance to see what kind of sound I produce, and then it's, you know, these things end up being kind of pet peeve sessions. That's why all these different master classes are so different.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. I'm very equipment based. I do a lot of research and development for a company in Germany.
And you have your own shop too.
I have my own repair shop. Yes.
Putting the tubas up on lifts like they do in the car garages.
Yeah, sort of. But you know, half what I've discovered is that half of the problems that the students find is that the equipment is not set up right.
Mm.
And once everything's set up properly, then I can figure out they can figure out what they're doing physically with their embouchure and such to make it better. So we take as many things out of the equation as possible to make sure that they're doing things right, so no one gets hurt.
How do you get hurt playing the tuba?
Well, The biggest thing, you know, the newest thing now that, as it's been diagnosed, is focal dystonia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an overuse syndrome where, you know, before it was called, you know, losing your lip, you know, when they'd say, oh, he lost his lip. But basically what it is forcing the muscles, small muscle structures, to do too much over and over again.
Oh, like carpal tunnel for the hand.
Sort of like that. But it's I guess Reader's Digest version of it. It's kind of like a traffic jam, almost like a traffic jam within the neurological
mm-hmm.
center.
Hmm.
And you know, I may be saying, okay, play a C, but a D will come out or an F will come out. So it's a confusion of different things. I mean, it goes a lot deeper than that, a whole lot deeper.
Well, you can find out more this evening at 5 at the VBC, and there's an open rehearsal too.
There is an open rehearsal, as always, which is fun. I like to say mm-hmm. that rehearsal is sometimes more fun than concerts for the audience.
Yeah.
Not to me, because
yeah.
I have to work
You're
harder.
Working, yes.
but to see what's happening behind the scenes and to see how something comes together is actually a different experience from a concert. So I know we have our loyal audience for that mm-hmm. as well.
That's at 11. And you can kind of come and go. So if you just want to see the tuba part, you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's tomorrow morning at 11. More information is available at hso.org. We have a couple minutes before I have to go to the Composer's Date Book and welcome the Hermitage Piano Trio in here. But what's coming up next for the symphony?
What coming up is the third casual classes concert, Science of Music, we call it. It's really about musical pieces that somehow connect to scientific ideas like infinity and I know. Don't look at me like that. The whole point is I'm going to have really great conversation partners, and we can talk about that later on the week of the concert. But we're going to talk about science and music and have some really great pieces of music from Bach and other composers.
And you can hear more about it here on WLRH as the date approaches. Alan Baer, thank you so much for coming to Huntsville and sharing your tuba skills with us. Again, his masterclass is at 5 this evening at the VBC. Anything else you want to add?
Oh, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
And I'll see you
whenever. Yeah, you see
yeah.
me. Thanks.
Gregory's here all the time.